Hello everyone, this is Matthew Frehley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend commodity newsletter for Sunday, February 24th. And this newsletter is divided into four major sections. First off, number one, we're going to look at precious metals, gold and silver, do an in-depth analysis. As you know, that area of commodities has especially taken a hit. So I want to focus on that. Number two, we're going to look at gold stocks. We're going to look at GDX as the proxy. We're going to do a general technical analysis on that. Then we're going to look at our BPGDM GDX swing system. Finally, we're also going to look at a GDX RSI2 oversold system, as well as just a couple individual stocks. Number three, we're going to discuss our XLE OAH BPNER swing system, which went short last week on Wednesday. Finally, number four, we're just going to go over some general commodities, look at copper, DBA, the agriculture ETF, crude oil, natural gas, and coffee. Also, just a couple administration comments. I am planning to do a webinar on some of the BPT systems fairly soon. I will send out an email once I decide on some times and dates, etc. But I'll also try to record it for those who can't attend. Okay? There seems to be a lot of confusion on the website, and rightly so, on the systems. And so I just want to cover that with you guys and hopefully clear some things up. Okay, so let's get started. Item number two below is a table. It shows what the whole general market did last week. And again, Steve Nelson covered the general market. You can see we finally had a nice down week. The Dow did close up slightly, just barely though, 0.13%. Otherwise, the other sectors, especially the NASDAQ and Russell 2000, closed down. Most of the individual sectors closed down, with utilities and drugs closing up, and those are defensive sectors. Again, not surprisingly, the market has been just on a tear all year, you know, since November of last year when it bottomed on that pullback. And, you know, market's due for a pullback, so no one should be surprised there. We're going to be discussing commodities, and you can see here, commodities were generally in red. Everything was down except for natural gas, which is up 4.7%. The U.S. dollar was up 1.12%, and that, of course, helped the commodities pull back. Again, pretty much everything was down here in commodities. As you can see, crude oil down 3%. Gold and silver continue to take a major hit, with gold down about 1.95%, silver down 3.76%. But the gold stocks continue to get hammered much stronger than the metals, and that continues to be worrisome. GDX is down almost 5%. GDXJ, that's the Gold Miners Junior ETF, was down almost 6%. Copper was down 5.3%. That's a big hit for copper, and that's a negative sign for the general market, in my opinion. Platinum and palladium were down over 3%. Gasoline finally had a pullback, etc. So, again, big down week for commodities, much more than the general market. Next, item number three shows you an economic earnings calendar for this week. Again, we have a full plate of news this week, as you can see. So lots of things here that could potentially move the market. Okay, next, item number four is a link to an economic or a stock earnings calendar. Again, we're basically out of earnings season. So, but if you want to check your individual stock for earnings, you can here. Stocks do report, you know, haphazardly. So, you know, if you want to check your individual stocks, you can do so here. Okay, let's jump in the charts here, guys. First off, we're going to look at gold and silver. And we're going to do an in-depth analysis here. Chart number five shows a weekly chart of gold down $31 for the week. And down $85 for the month of February. So very negative time for gold here. Gold's been selling off quite strongly since it peaked last September last year. You can see the weekly chart here, which I've shown before. This descending triangle pattern. Major support is around the 1325 to 1335 area. And that's that horizontal line in this pattern. We're nearing it quite a bit. Gold closed off of its lows last week, but it's nearing this major support area. I think gold will bounce off of this area. And the big question is it going to bounce up, you know, form a lower high, and then eventually sell off again? We'll just have to see. But again, this gold has continued to have a nice correction here. and approaching some major support areas. Got very oversold last week, so again, wouldn't be surprised to see it bounce here in the very short term, as I'll discuss below. But the overall pattern is a descending triangle pattern. The important support area is the 1525 to 1535 area. Next, chart number 6 shows a monthly chart of gold, again down $85 for the month. Again, this is a chart that I've been showing for quite a long time. You should be well aware of it. This shows you a nice history for gold. The secular bull market in gold began in 2001, so gold's been in a secular bull market for 12 years now. Still think it has some more to go, but you know, it's been in a secular bull market for a while, so it's nothing. It's not a new bull market. But you know, I've been discussing these long-term uptrend lines on this monthly chart, the uptrend lines in black. My comments months ago were, hey, we might consolidate long enough to test one of these uptrend lines. You can see I have that upper uptrend line, a little circle there highlighted in blue. You know what? We're getting closer to it. So would not surprise me at all to test this uptrend line later this year. That either means more sideways movement or eventual lower prices. So I think it's going to be a while before gold makes new highs. I think gold can still make new all-time highs. I think it will. I don't think its secular bull market is over. It could be, but I don't think it is. However, I think it's, you know, going to be a while, guys. My best guess would be maybe the correction in sometime in later this year, maybe August time frame. The summer months tend to be called the summer doldrums for gold. Gold tends to be weak during that time. So wouldn't be surprised for the summer to have another correction for gold. Again, very short term, I think gold's getting oversold, so wouldn't be surprised to see a rally up. But I don't see it going to new highs. I think it's going to consolidate and at least test that up, that trend line there you see marked in blue. One important indicator is that 14 RSI at the top. That 50% level has been very important going back to the beginning of the gold bull market. You can see RSI has been above 50% that whole time, except for one candle where it went just slightly below 50%. You can see that in 2008 where I have that circled. So it's an important level to watch going forward here. You can see it's getting near that 50% level now. So this is the big picture chart on gold. Next, chart number 7 is a weekly chart of GLD, the ETF. But, you know, this, I need to add this wave count to the gold commodity itself. But anyway, this is the potential wave count correction that I think may be playing out for gold. Again, I've been discussing this for a while, so it shouldn't be anything new to you. Basically, this shows that gold is potentially in a complex ABCWXABCY correction. Again, if you don't know your Elliott wave, that's fine, but this is, you know, a complex correction instead of a simple ABC correction. This would have the major, the high in September 2011 be in a wave 3, major wave 3, which I don't have labeled here, and gold is now in a complex correction. Under this count, it's now in wave A, which you see in pink, and eventually here we're going to get another rally up in wave B, which could start any time here since gold's quite oversold in the short term. Okay, but I think that wave B will form a lower high. It will be below the September-October highs, and then we sell off one more time and we take out that, you know, the 1525 lows for gold, which is 150 here on this chart on the ETF. We make another low as a wave C or wave Y. I got a little typo here. The small letters here, I have A, B, and B. That should be A, B, C. Okay. Again, just above the Y. So I think this is, you know, to me, this is my favorite count. This is the bullish count, guys. A bearish count, I could also give you that with the whole bull market and gold being over. But for now, this is the count that I am sticking to. So under this count, again, we'd have a rally sometime soon, but then that rally will fail, we'll sell off again, and maybe we'll bottom sometime in the fall. That may be the bottom for gold, perhaps. But again, under this count, gold will eventually go lower. Okay. Next, chart number 8 is a daily chart of the ETF GLD. I showed this last week to members, but one thing I want to mention here is I got these, as you know, I do a lot of mechanical systems. I follow the RSI quite a bit. I have these RSI, I have a lot of RSI 2, Larry Connors type systems, the reversion to the mean type systems. And anyway, as you see in my comments on here, And you can see I have two RSI indicators at the bottom, a 2-length RSI and a 14-length RSI at the very bottom. That's a standard RSI setting. So both the RSI 2 and the 14 RSI got the most oversold in history since GLD has been trading. Okay, RSI 2 hit 0.15% on Wednesday last week, and the 14 RSI hit 18.66%. That's the most historically oversold ever for this ETF. So that's why, again, wouldn't be surprised to see at least a bounce here in the short term for GLD and for gold. Next, Tremor 9 is another daily chart of gold. Ignore all the stuff at the top. Look at the very bottom. This chart goes back to 2001. Look at the CCI indicator. This is 70-length CCI. This also basically hit one of the most oversold conditions it has in the last 12 years. You can see it hasn't gotten this oversold since 2008. Now, look at that CCI from 2008, though. Where it was the most oversold, just past July 2008, gold then had a bounce, and then it sold off again to make a new low. So, and then what you formed was a divergent low, where the CCI made a higher low. We may see something like that. So just because the CCI is the most oversold here it's been, doesn't mean it's the ultimate low for gold. I wouldn't be surprised to see a bounce in gold from here. But then for gold price to come down again, make another low, but CCI make a higher low. Okay, a divergence. If you don't know what positive divergence is, do a Google search. Again, it's just a technical situation where price and the indicator does not follow. For example, price forms a lower high, but the indicator forms a higher low. I mean, price forms a lower low, but the indicator forms a higher low. That's positive divergence. Next, Tremor 10 is the commercial. Or no, this is something I'll be following. This chart here is a chart that I actually used to predict the August 2011 highs for gold when gold hit $19.23 an ounce. At the time, gold got 28.2% away from its 200-day moving average, and that was one of the most overbought or it had been during its whole secular bull market. Again, this is just a very simple chart. Think of it like a rubber band. Price only gets so far away from the mean, has to snap back. At the time, gold got, again, 28.2% away from its 200-day moving average, which was historically too high. You could see 2008, it got about 25% away. Late 2009, it got 23.8% away. And in 2006, it got to 29% away. Every one of those times, gold pulled back. So that was something that I used to predict the top in gold. Currently, gold's only about about 7% away below its 200-day moving average. So, you know, it's oversold, but it's also not historically oversold. It's just something to mention. Next, chart number 11 is a daily chart of gold. As you can see, that head and shoulder pattern played out beautifully that I showed inside this downtrend channel. Gold sold off strongly that it lost the 23.6% fib. So that's bearish short term. It's also below the lower trend line of the channel, and that's now resistance, as you can see. So that's your short-term resistance, is the lower channel trend line here. Next, chart 12 is another daily chart of gold. Again, you can see the descending triangle pattern, and you can see the previous other consolidation times. Again, this consolidation here has been about 17 months, which is just slightly less than the consolidation from 2008 to 2009. But as I stated early in the newsletter, especially with that monthly chart of gold and the long-term trend lines, I feel that the top in 2011 was more significant, and I think that's why I think it needs more time to consolidate here. I think it needs longer than that 17 and a half months, like we saw in 2008 and 2009. Next, Tremor 13, just another daily chart of gold. Again, you can see that resistance at the trend line of the channel and the horizontal black line. Next, Tremor 14 is another, actually, apologize, this is a GDX chart. This should go below with GDX and gold stocks. But since it's here, I'll discuss it. GDX is quite oversold in the short term. Maybe it bounces here, but you know, there's no divergence on the chart, so gold stocks have been extremely ugly, as you know. Hopefully you guys have not been long gold stocks on this decline. We have been bearish on them, and one possibility is for GDX to bounce here, then maybe sell off one more time, form a new low, but maybe a divergent low, maybe set up some kind of inverse head and shoulder pattern for a decent rally. So again, this chart should have been below. Apologize for that. Next, Sharper 15 is a weekly chart of gold, but this, what I'm looking about here is the commercial net short for gold. Last week, the commercial net short fell to 132,000. That's nice to see. It's really nice to see it coming down. The previous lows in last year was 130,000, so it's close to that. But ultimately, I think it's going to have to beat this. I think it's going to have to come lower, honestly. But this is a chart that I've used during the whole secular gold bull market. As you can see, the commercial net short, I've showed it on the peaks and the bottoms for gold. It works best for picking bottoms. As you can see, prior to 2008, all major bottoms in gold, the COT, the commercial net short, has been below 100,000. And we'll see if this ultimately has to come below there. But it's definitely something that I'm monitoring very closely. Next, Sharper 16 is a 60-minute chart of GLD. No real divergence here. Oh, there's a little bit on the histogram below, MACD histogram, but not on a regular MACD. Again, it's oversold, so wouldn't be surprised to see maybe fill one of these gaps above. And next, Sharper 17 is a 15-minute view. Again, you can see there was a divergent low here, and there's a nice current gap to fill above. Again, wouldn't be surprised to see that filled. Currently tonight, gold's up about $5, so far so good. Next, chart 18. Again, I showed these charts last week. The next three charts are gold relative to some major world currencies. We need to see these improve. This is gold relative to the euro, chart number 18. Again, it's still in a downtrend. I'd like to see it break the downtrend line ultimately. Gold needs to start outperforming relative to these world currencies to regain, you know, a significant uptrend. Next, chart 19 is gold relative to the Canadian dollar. You know, it's trying to find some support here at this one trend line. But again, for now, it's in a downtrend. And chart 20 is gold relative to the Australian dollar. Again, same thing. Continues to be weak. We need to see ultimately gold to start strengthening relative to these world currencies. Okay. Finally, let's look at some silver. Chart 21 is a daily chart of silver. Unfortunately, silver lost this uptrend line from 2008. Not surprised, though, because gold also lost its uptrend line from 2008. It did so first, so not surprised to see this. This uptrend line from 2008 is now considered resistance. So silver rallies here, that's a resistance area, perhaps. Otherwise, the next major support is that horizontal line below, around the 26 area, where you see those green arrows. Next, chart 22 is another daily chart of silver. Again, silver's in a downtrend channel here. It's at the bottom of the channel, so this is a bounce area. Okay, wouldn't be surprised to see it bounce here. Major support, of course, is around that 26 area. If silver were just to fall out of bed here, you could see that horizontal line going back to 2011. Notice how many times that 26 area was tested. You could see those blue arrows. That was an important buy area, support area, every time. So that's an important area if silver were to break down. But right here, there is some support. Again, wouldn't be surprised to see it rally up here, especially with gold and everything being so oversold last week. Next, chart 23 is a shorter-term daily chart of silver. Again, it's also, you can see it's at the bottom of this downtrend channel, so this is a bounce area. Again, back in January, silver stopped at the 61.8% fib, so that was a logical area. Next, chart 23 is another chart of silver. This is one potential scenario. If silver were to bounce up here, maybe form a wave 4, then maybe have one more sell-off in a wave 5, perhaps. Just throwing out some potential scenarios. And looking at the intraday, chart 25 is a 15-minute view of SOV. Again, just like gold, you have a gap to fill above here. Would not be surprised to see that fill. Next, That's it. So let's move on to the item number 27, the second part of this newsletter. Let's look at gold stocks. We're going to use GDX as the proxy. Chart 28 is a weekly chart of GDX, down almost 5% for the week. I've shown this head and shoulder pattern for a while. It's breaking the neckline. Again, I don't really like it as a head and shoulder pattern. Why? Because, you know, if this sucker were to play out, I mean, it would take GDX, you know, down to the 20s maybe. I mean, so, but anyway, I'm really just showing you this chart because, you know, you could see for the weekly, you know, just on the weekly basis, it lost almost 5%. So ugly week for gold stocks. Next, Charber 29 is a daily chart of GDX. Again, it's been a downtrend here since September. It broke down again in January. We've been bearish this whole time. It is quite oversold here in the short term. Again, the RSI is oversold at the top. So would not be surprised to see a bounce here in the very short term, but it's just been ugly. At the very least, I'd want to see at least a positive close back inside these Bollinger Bands. We closed down again on Friday. We're still below the lower Bollinger Bands. And we took out the May lows. Just ugly stuff, guys. Ugly, ugly. Next. Chart 30 is another daily view of GDX. Again, ugly chart. Downtrend channel here. Let's see if it can pull close back inside the Bollinger Bands. Next. Charber 31 is a 60-minute view. Downtrend channel here. Watch this maybe for a breakout of this. There's also a gap to fill up between, you know, up around the 39 range. So wouldn't be surprised to see that fill, especially if gold bounces here. Again, gold's up a little bit tonight, but we'll see how it is in the morning. Next, Charber 32 is a 15-minute chart of GDX. 15-minute chart's not too bad here, but again, remember, it's only a 15-minute chart. You can see a little downtrend line here. Watch that. There's a gap to fill above. Also, watch that GDX-GLD ratio above. You can see how I drew that blue downtrend line. Breaking that would be positive. Next, let's talk about one of our swing systems based on the BPGDM, Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. That's just at the top. As you know, this BPGDM fell to 6.67%. This is extremely oversold. It's only been this a few times. It hit 0 1 point in 2008. Then I think it hit 7% sometime in 2010. And after that, it's always bounced. Again, I've had some members ask me, hey, does that mean I could just buy GDX now and everything's going to be great? Well, not exactly. My thoughts are, if you did buy GDX and you just held your nose and you held it with a very wide stop, it's eventually probably going to go up and you'll probably eventually make money on it. But it will probably be dead money for a little bit, because when these bullish percent charts get this low, it usually means the stocks are so washed out that they need to build a base, spend some time chopping around before they're really ready to rally. So you got to keep that in mind, guys. Do you want to use up your cash, tie them up in this area, you know, waiting for these things to just bottom out? Again, I think short term they're probably due for a bounce, but there's no base here, there's no divergence, there's just nothing. So, but again, the bullish percent chart is down to 6.67%. Now, here's one thing I want to mention. Our system has been short since October 12th. That's near 4.5 months. That's a heck of a long trade. Again, if you're in a free trial at Breakpoint Trades, you know, our free trials are only 3 months, or I'm only 3 weeks. That's not enough time to get used to these systems, because some of our systems, you know, do trades that last a month or several months. So I advise everyone who's on a free trial to buy a 6-month membership at least. That's our best deal. It's only $1.30 a day, $40 a month basically. You really need to be here at least 6 months to see what's going on at Breakpoint. Okay. But anyway, one thing I want to mention here, look at the comments here in blue. It says 227. It should actually be 224. So apologize for that. I am going to be closing the system short out from October 12th if GDX can close back inside the Bollinger Bands here. Okay. Again, that could occur here anytime. So just giving you a heads up there. Next. Chart number 34 is a daily chart of GDX. This is one of my reversion to the mean systems using the RSI-2. This system went long last week on Wednesday. And so we'll see how this trade works out. The system has a very high winning percentage. The only thing I noticed, though, was that usually the system will take a little heat before ultimately making money. So I won't be surprised to see that. But let's look at the statistics of the system. Chart 35 is the statistics and trade station from the system. Again, a profit factor of 75, which is very good. Not a lot of trades, though, only 35. But 90, almost 95% winning trades. 17 max consecutive winning trades in a row. Largest losing trade, only less than 0.5%. So, again, system has done quite well. It went long last week. Again, wouldn't be surprised to see it work out. But, you know, may or may not need to take some heat in order to work out. Next, chart 36 shows you the yearly gains to the system. Going back to the beginning of GDX. You can convert these dollar amounts to percentages. So, for example, 2010, that would be 17%. 2009 would be 9%. Again, the system, it's a reversion of the mean system, guys. So it's in the market a very short time. I think it's in the market only, let me check on that, about 7% of the time. So it's hardly in the market at all, guys. So, again, it only buys GDX when it's extremely oversold, and it just does it for a quick trade. It's not a trending system. Okay, next. Just looking at a couple individual gold stocks. Again, guys, most of these gold stocks have, you know, really no patterns. They're in major downtrends. There's no bases on them. So I would mainly focus on the ETF. Some individual ones here, chart number 37. This is a 60-minute view. 60-minute view interests me a little bit. Looks like it has a little bull flag here set up. If you look at the ratio at the top, BAA to GLD, it broke a trend line, and it's been trending up here. Could see how the ratio trend line breaks and provided some nice trades. So very short term, that one interests me a little bit. Chart 38 is BVN. Been in a downtrend for quite a while. There is divergence that's been building on here for a while, and I'm watching this bull wedge, so if that can break on some volume, that may give you a trade. Again, just some things to monitor. And chart 39, GOLD, again, you know, been in a downtrend for quite a ways here. One thing I'm watching is the nice long trend line on the ratio just above, maybe for a trigger. And chart 40 is BAA. This chart should have been above with the 60-minute, but you know, you can see it's been diverging here, positive divergence, so it's been holding up a little bit better, maybe one to watch. Okay. Otherwise, again, I would focus mainly on the ETF, guys. Next, looking at some general... Item number 41, let's talk about our XLE OAH BPNER swing system. Item number 42, here's some text. Again, officially it's called the XLE swing system, but I've talked about this before, that you actually make more money if you trade OAH in place of XLE, about 25% more. And I have some TradeStation system reports here. You could click the URLs here. If you want to review them, I have one for XLE and OAH. And if you want to see an insane report, you can click the OAH compounded report. That basically has the profits compounded. $100,000 from starting from 2005 turns into $46 million. That's pretty crazy. But you can look at the statistics of the system here. And chart 43 is the bullish percent energy chart itself, BPNER. Again, this is what we power our XLE OAH swing system. It went short last Wednesday. Next, chart 46 is a daily chart of XLE itself. And item number 45 is the trades to the XLE swing system, going back to 2005. With OAH, it's even more impressive, as I stated. But you can look at these very impressive stats. Again, we haven't been trading these live, honestly, because I just developed the system late last year. The trades that we have done for the website, if you look at the very bottom of the table, We took the long from January 4th, 2013 to January 30th, 2013. We made 5% on an XLE trade. The system then went to cash. Last week it entered a short on 220, and that short is still open. The average time the system is in trade is about a little over a month. But some trades can last, 6 or 7 months. So again, guys, those are the two live trades of the system, the ones at the bottom. Hopefully you've caught at least that one from January. Next, let's just look at some general commodities, item number 46. Chart number 47 is a weekly chart of copper, down 5.3%. Ugly chart. Copper's been forming this triangle pattern for a while here. And this triangle here is looking ugly, guys. Breaking this would not be good. And one thing that concerns me is the stochastics below. The 14 stochastics is overbought and turning down. It concerns me because the market tends to follow copper, the S&P 500, for example. So if copper really were to break down hard, I think that would really weigh on the general market, Dow and S&P, basically. Next, chart 48 is a daily chart of copper. It broke down out of this little bear wedge last week. Longer term, there's a big triangle here, and it is oversold in the short term. So again, wouldn't be surprised to see it bounce off a lower trend line. But ultimately, we'll see what happens. The S&P is plotted above. And chart 49 shows a comparison of copper to the S&P 500. Copper is in red, while S&P 500 is in black. And you can see how, well, especially during 2009 and early 2010, copper and the S&P traded right on top of each other. Just they followed exactly. They've diverged since that time a little bit, but they've still basically followed each other. But lately here, you can see the market, the S&P in black, has been much stronger. Copper's been weakening here. So I'm wondering if this could start weighing on the market a little bit. So just something to consider. Next, chart 50 is a weekly chart of DBA, the agriculture ETF. Again, down about 0.5% for the week. It is testing an uptrend line here, the lower trend line. We'll see if that can hold or not. Next, chart 51 is the daily view. DBA hit one of our targets last week. There's a little divergence here. So I'm looking for a bounce trade here, perhaps. And chart 52 is a 60-minute chart of DBA. There is some positive divergence here on the MACD, and that histogram below the 25-170-25 is above zero, where you can see I have my red arrow. So I'm watching to see if that can stay above zero, watching for an oversold bounce trade here. Next, chart 53 is a weekly chart of crude oil. Down 3% for the week. Again, weekly though, there's this big triangle pattern, so really nothing to say. This is a large pattern. Eventually, this will resolve itself. It's something to keep an eye on in the longer, big picture. And chart 54 is a daily view. It's testing this downtrend line in purple. We'll see if that can hold or not. Next, chart 55 is natural gas. Not much to say here. Last week, it did bounce off the 200-day moving average in red. That was the support area. Next, chart 56 is a daily chart of Boyle. That's the ETF. It's held support here so far. Next, chart 57 is a 60-minute view of Boyle. There is a potential wedge here that I'm monitoring. And chart 58 is a 15-minute chart of Boyle. Potential inverse head and shoulder pattern here. Next, chart 59 is a daily chart of unleaded gasoline. As you know, unleaded gasoline has been extremely high. Did pull back a little bit, but so far it's still holding this gap area. But let's look at the weekly chart. Chart 60 is the weekly chart. Weekly chart, this has me concerned for the summer because gasoline is basically testing this long-term uptrend, this upper trend line from 2008. The more times you test this trend line, eventually you're going to break it. If it eventually breaks out of this pattern, we could see unleaded gasoline, again, what you pay at the pumps, at new all-time highs. So just something to consider. If this really breaks out, wouldn't be surprised to see gas for, $5 a gallon this summer. Next, chart 61 is coffee, weekly chart for the week. Coffee was up about 2.5%. It is trying to bounce off the lower support area, and Charber 62 is a daily chart of coffee. Again, it's trying to bounce off the lower wedge, that support. Next, Charber 63 is a monthly view of coffee. Again, this long-term uptrend line from 2002. That's an area for it to potentially bounce. And Charber 64 is the ETF JO. Again, bouncing off of some support. All right, guys, that does it. Let's see what happens with the old market this week. Talk to you later. Have a great week. Thank you.